Yours, mine, and ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach and an MBTI practitioner, so I've worked with individuals and couples as a coach for the last 15 years. In my show, I discuss an important question in life that everyone asks: what are relationships made of? Well, the answer, the stock answer, is they're a dynamic between two separate individuals, but it consists of a physical, mental, and an emotional connection. But there are actually three different elements to a relationship. There are the two separate people individually, but there's also the third entity of what they create together, separate and distinct from the individual people when they're apart from each other. My show is going to be about how to personally become a better individual, separate from any other person, but as well as knowing how to facilitate the improvement of others individually, separate from you, so that when you come together, you are both better people and you have a phenomenal positive impact on each other as a combined entity. So I'm going to spend the first part of my show explaining different concepts and the elements that comprise relationships. The second part of the show is going to be of me interviewing a guest, talking about the theme for that show today. And then the third part is going to be me opening up the lines for our listeners to ask questions or share their thoughts and comments, their opinions of what they think the show has been about. And really getting a dialogue opening up between the listeners is going to be an important element to how we're all going to be better people. Welcome to the show. Now, the theme for today's show is, has feminism been good for relationships? How has feminism been good for women, or even has it? When I was just moving back up to the state of Washington, my son was a teenager. My oldest son was a teenager, and he told me an absolutely fabulous joke. And I still, even to this day, it was actually about 6 years ago, I still tell it to people when I go into a store or a restaurant. If I like someone standing behind the counter, I tell them, you got to hear this joke. It's kind of long, but it's great because nobody can deny how accurate it really does describe men and women. So here's how it goes. The Spanish teacher was explaining to her class that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine, and you have to put an article in front of them. El if it's masculine, or la if it's feminine. So it was actually a class of adult students, and one of the men raised his hand and he said, teacher, is this computer, is it el computador or la computadora? Is it a feminine or masculine? And the teacher said, ooh, that's a good question. You know what? We're going to have some fun with this. I'm going to split you up into men and women. Why don't you guys tell me if you think this machine is more like a man or more like a woman? Well, the men got together. All the men sat down and they said, we don't even need to talk about this. This is such a woman. It's not even funny. Well, the teacher said, okay, you kind of intrigued me. Why would you say that? And they said, for four reasons. First of all, only their creator understands their internal logic. And she said, okay, that's good. I like that. That's pretty good. Number two, they speak a language that only other computers understand. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval, just to remind you every so often. And finally, you're constantly buying accessories for them. Ooh, okay, the women were getting annoyed because they had some things they wanted to say, but they couldn't really disagree with any of that stuff. So the teacher turns to them and says, well, what do you ladies think? And they said, this thing's such a guy, we'll tell you why, for four reasons. First of all, if you ever want them to do anything, you have to turn them on first. And the guys couldn't even deny that. Yep, that's true. Number two, you can give them all the information in the world, constantly telling them more things, and they're still not going to think for themselves. Number three, they claim to solve all your problems, and you know what? You know that more often than not, they are the problem. Okay, the guys actually kind of enjoyed that one because, yeah, that's true. But finally, the most important reason, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one. Okay, we all have to agree. We all have to admit, men and women, we all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. But just in case you're wondering, the computer, it's a law. Okay, so let's think about this now. When it comes to relationships, men and women both bring great things. They're all very useful talents, strengths, gifts, and abilities, but there are individual challenges. So when I think about feminism and relationships, what's been going on over the last 50 years, and why? Well, thinking back to really the origin of feminism, it sort of started with my mother's generation. She was actually a baby boomer, and what it originally was, I think, intended, at least what had always been explained to me, since I'm a Generation X, is that it was about equality. Equality between men and women. And a lot of what was emphasized to me as I was growing up was, in a monetary way, we need to get the same pay as men. We need the same power and the same positions. But it really was about a lot of money. We did the exact same jobs they were doing. Why didn't we get as much money? But then, as I was growing up, as I became a teenager and a young woman, the question was, well, wait a minute, we need to get the same kind of respect, the way that we're treated. Even if we did get the same job and even if we did get the same money, we deserve the respect that men had. You know what? That's true. Respect is actually a very important thing, and everybody deserves to have that. But then, as I grew up and became a woman, an adult, a mother, and a wife, and you know what? We need freedom and rights. Well, actually, that was something that was originally the main priority, and I didn't really know what to think about freedom and rights. Well, we don't we really have the same rights? But then it became extremely political to the point where I almost felt like women were fighting. They just wanted to fight over everything. And the independence, and you know what? We can sleep around just the way a man can. We can do it too. And we don't have to be in a committed relationship. They can take advantage of us, well, we can take advantage of them. It actually started to feel like women were being destructive to each other. And they were doing hurtful things to men, and they were doing hurtful things to women because then men had become the enemy, and women were actually becoming the competition. So let's go ahead and think about this question. We're going to take a real quick break here. When we come back, thinking about the question, has feminism been good for women's relationships with men? I'm going to talk about something very important that I learned as a young woman. It was about dancing. I started dancing when I was young, and that's what taught me how to have a healthy and a beautiful relationship. We'll be right back with yours, mine, and ours. Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. The theme for today's show is, has feminism been good for women's relationships? A lot of people would say it's been good for their work, it's been good for their money. Yeah, it's been good for their life, but has it really been good for relationships? When I was a very young girl, I saw the beautiful, graceful ballerinas dancing on their toes, listening to the music and watching them. I knew I was destined for that same beauty. I just had no idea it would be so much work. And I never would have guessed that it was based on a philosophy that was going to end up being the basis of how I would live my entire life and create my relationships. Ballet taught me three life skills, three very critical life skills that are the foundation for success, not only in daily life, but in relationships. Ballet is one of the very fundamental reasons why I'm not only married to the same man after 25 years, but why that man still has a huge crush on me the way he did when we were dating. And ballet taught me that discipline did not mean the same thing as punishment, the way most authority figures in my childhood try to convince me that it did. Discipline, I'm going to discipline you. Well, that was code for hit me or yell at me or take something away that I loved. They used the word discipline when they were talking about causing me pain in a punitive way. But I learned from ballet that true discipline is about having strength, developing skill, and knowing your center. That creates success. And those are the things that are the foundation for a successful relationship. All kinds of relationships, in business, in a social setting, and your romantic relationships, because the three vital elements to dancing and also relationships are strength, talent, and balance. Okay, now thinking about this strength, you don't see the muscles in a dancer's legs and think, wow, I bet she could lift 100 pounds. She probably can't. That's not the raw strength that dancing gives you. It's the kind of strength that provides endurance and an ability to do things that other people, maybe people who can lift 100 pounds, aren't able to do, like moving in a way that's beautiful and extended and hypnotic. That demands strength. The second one is talent, actual ability. These are skills that require practice and practice and more practice, but it's about grace and the ability to think about what your feet are doing, arching, your toes have to be permanently pointing, and then what your legs are doing, which is frequently moving in the opposite direction of your arms, and then what your hands are doing, which is actually the opposite of what your body is doing as well. So being fluid in thought and your motion at the same time, that's genuine talent. But the most important thing is balance. Now, forget what your body is doing. Being balanced means being centered, and that is mental and emotional as well as physical, because it demands being profoundly aware of where the center of your weight is. It's the center of your entire body, which for girls between the ages of 5 and 17 changes on an almost daily basis. You have to look long and hard inside of yourself, in your body, to find your center, and then work even harder to keep your eyes on that center inside of you. Mindfulness of who and where you are in your body and your soul to keep yourself in a place that will allow the talent and strength that you have as a dancer to manifest itself. Balance is discipline. Now, the truth is, you don't have any business bringing another person into your personal space to join you in your dancing routine if you are not exceptional in your strength and talent and balance, completely separate from that other person. That's why you don't get to dance with other people personally touching each other and being synchronized until you've been dancing for several years, because they're going to be doing the same things that you are as a dancer, but they're going to be completely different from you. And you're going to need to stay unified in the way that you move with them. Now think about this. They need to stay centered, completely separate from you, while moving with you. That's what keeps their ability and the strength from not doing damage to you and you not doing damage to them. If you're off just even a little bit, you can kick each other, you can hit each other, you can do real damage with each other, even if they just fall over. The same is true in life, all areas of life. Okay, but what does it mean to be centered? Well, okay, I took my first ballet class when I was 4. It was a lot of work. You don't even look very good doing it when you're 4. And it's not impressive doing the steps that you've learned and that you've practiced for a whole year before you get to do the show on stage. And I realized over the years, I was going to be doing a lot of work and not looking good for a very long time. On the stage at the end of the year when you're doing your dance, it was maybe a 3-minute dance. And if you weren't wearing a costume, it actually looked pretty bad. And so it ended up to about 5 years, you know, with you getting good enough to look good. Even when you were good after 5 years of practice, you weren't going to be beautiful for almost another 5 years. So that's 10 years total. How many girls do you know that start ballet as little girls, continue to do it through puberty and into young womanhood, actually ending up as a mature woman on the stage being something beautiful? It's a lot of delayed gratification. It's suffering and personal sacrifice, which requires humility. Now let's think about that in terms of relationships. You need to be strong. You need to be flexible. You need to be focused, and you need to be centered in relationships. Okay, that means the other person that's with you in a relationship has to be strong and flexible and focused and centered. Okay, now those are different things that when you're going through life, two very healthy people, separate from each other, need to have the ability to do and be before they come together. In a relationship, when we're thinking about feminism, okay, that can be something of a power struggle because the principles, the concept of feminism is men and women are supposed to be equal, but the actual philosophy is about we are competing with each other. You know what? That's not really going to make your relationship stronger or healthy. That's going to be about women thinking that pretty much all men are pigs. Well, that's kind of what I was told when I was growing up. I didn't even know what women were angry at men for. All I knew was that all the women around me were angry at the men as they were becoming better people. They were coming together as women. They were coming together in society. They actually had a more negative opinion of each other and of men. So as I was growing up, a lot of the things that I heard women say and I saw them do were just very negative things. And so even when they were in a relationship with a man, they seemed to be fighting with them all the time over nothing. Why were they always making men out to be so bad? Actually, I kind of thought men were good, but I wasn't going to say that. Okay. You know what? Actually, not all men are pigs, and some of them were pretty good to women. Well, is equality even possible? Well, yeah, I think it is. It's equality as far as value. Well, but what's men's take on feminism? And what are a woman's responsibilities and their abilities biologically? How are they different from men? Are men the same as men? Well, no, they're not really the same. Wow, this is getting confusing. How about taking care of yourself? Well, yeah, taking care of yourself as a woman is important because that's going to make you better as a woman in relationships. But you know what? Let's just go ahead and talk to someone about this, someone who has an opinion. I've got a lot of my own opinions, but we're going to go ahead. And when we come back after this next break, we're going to talk to a young man. His name is Nick, and he has some opinions about feminism and how, in the relationships that he's had in his family and in his personal life, feminism, well, it's been a good thing, but it's also been a very bad thing, and for different reasons. We'll go ahead and take another break when we come back. Yours, mine, and ours.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach, and today we're talking about the question, has feminism been good for women's relationships? And today we have a guest. His name is Nick. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, great. Now I want to ask you, first of all, just some general questions about yourself to give our listeners an idea of who I'm really talking to. First of all, how old are you, Nick?
I am 22.
Okay, so then that would mean you belong to the millennials generation?
About, yeah, there's a lot of debate as between like where 1997 falls. So I'm kind of like millennial Gen Z hybrid.
There you go. Okay, so you actually come from something that's more and more of a rare thing, and that's parents who are still married to each other. Okay, so they were married before you were born, and they're still together. How long have your parents been married, Nick?
My parents have been married 26 years almost. Oh, no,
Okay.
25.
All
25.
right, well, but it's a long time. The fact is
A long time.
they've been married a long time. Okay, so now let me ask you this, because I know a little bit about you, and part of what I was impressed by is the nationalities, the different nationalities. What nationalities are your parents?
My mom is an American and my dad is a Mexican.
Okay, so then would you consider yourself Mexican or American?
Neither, kind of both. It depends on what restaurant I'm at.
Well, that was very honest. Okay, but see, if you, well, I guess, were you born in this country or were you born in Mexico?
I was born in America, in the United States.
Okay, so then you were kind of raised in an American culture, but what's the general philosophy about marriage and family when it comes to your father, who's Mexican, his culture? What's their philosophy about marriage and family?
Well, I am my dad's son, so I was like born and raised here, but I kind of had a heavy influence of where my dad comes from. The philosophy down there, from what he's told me, from what I've observed, is that in a marriage, the man goes out, he makes the money, he provides for the family, the woman takes care of the kids, takes care of the home, takes care of her husband, and takes care of herself.
Okay. And so how is that different from what you've observed in the American culture when it comes to family with kind of the whole feminism movement?
Well, the difference is the men here actually help wash the dishes.
Some do, some yes.
in regards to feminism, there's less synergy, I guess you could kind of say, culturally speaking,
Ooh,
when it
synergy.
come when yeah when feminism is kind of brought into the picture, there's it's not as stable of a dynamic.
Ooh, okay. Okay, I'll give you that. And I can understand where you would see it that way. What's your mother's general philosophy about how to be with her husband? If she's married to a Mexican, but she was born in this country, what's her philosophy about how to be with her husband? Is she more American or Mexican? Because 25 years, they've not always agreed, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, it's very weird because it's kind of a hard question to answer because my mom is very not like most other moms. She grew up Generation X, so she kind of grew up with the whole like, you have to be as good as men and better than men in the workspace and in the workforce. You have to make the money and this and that. You can be the man. That kind of attitude. But she's sort of had like a mix of the two. She's always really taking care of my dad first. She's always told me, like, I need to take care of your dad first before I can really take care of you.
Whoa, wait a minute. She would put her kids to the side to take care of her husband?
Yeah, she would do that. Sometimes she would slip my brother or I $20 to leave the house with our little sister so she and my dad could have some alone time.
All right. But then when it comes to being with her husband, if she was a Generation X, did she want to go out and get a job or did she want to stay home and make babies like a Mexican?
Well, she didn't want, well, my dad had to kind of con her into having three children. So she wasn't really like up for the idea, but she was willing, right?
Okay.
She did actually go out and work. She was a she sold the like gift certificates, I believe it was. And my dad did stay home with us for a good for my siblings and I for a good portion of our childhood. While she was out working, kind of, he actually taught her how to do all the stay-at-home stuff because she was, I guess, when they were telling her how much better she had to be than men in the workforce, they forgot to teach her how to actually be a parent.
Oh yeah, a lot of the girls who were raised in her generation, because I'm actually part of that generation, they weren't taught how to cook and clean and change diapers.
Changing diapers, that was a big one for her. She had no idea. It dumbfounded her, and my dad had to show her how to properly do it.
How in the world did he know how to do it if he's Mexican? He wasn't raised to make babies and change diapers. How did he know how to do that?
Actually, in Mexico, the children after a certain age are the like little helpers. My dad was the middle child, the middle child of like a million brothers and sisters, right? Now, he had like a lot of little brothers and sisters. So being the oldest living at home, because his older siblings were off doing their own thing, he did have to take care of his younger siblings. He had to change the diapers and he had to wash the diapers. They didn't have the disposable ones. They had the cloth ones. and he had to clean up after them and help feed them and help take care of them and play with them. And yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I heard you tell me a story once about how your dad used some kind of newspaper for a dustpan. What
Yes,
was that?
he would take a newspaper, and on the finer edge, because there's little ridges on two sides, and smooth. You take the smooth ends, you get water on the edge of it, you put it on the ground, you kind of pat it down, and you can, if you're very gentle, you can put dust. You can sweep stuff on top of the newspaper, crumple it up, and then throw it away.
Wow, and what did she think when she saw that? Why didn't he just use a dustpan? What did she say?
I can't remember, but whenever he does stuff like that, she just looks at him like he's a rock star or something.
I think that would be kind of fun to see. Okay, so what did you actually think of your parents growing up doing things differently from the way other parents did?
I thought it was pretty cool. I kind of bragged about it to my friends at school.
Okay, that's very nice. And so what's their relationship like now after 25 years?
Still great. It's still amazing. It's very stable. It's a little chaotic sometimes because they're very, very different, but there's still very much in love.
That's really nice to hear. You don't find that people after 25 years are in love with each other. Okay, so that's just a little bit of background about you. Now, when we come back from our break, we're going to take another real quick break. We're going to talk to you about your philosophy about feminism and relationships in the world today. So go ahead and just hold on real tight for a quick sec, and we'll be right back. Yours, mine, and ours.
Radio.com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and the theme for today's show is Has Feminism Been Good for Women's Relationships? Now, we're talking today with Nick, who is sort of a millennial's age. And we're going to be opening up the lines in our next segment to people who have been listening in. So we're not taking callers just yet, but the number is 888-627-6008. So as we finish up just a few more questions with Nicholas when it comes to feminism, a little bit again of the relationship that you've seen between your parents, who one's a Mexican, one's an American. There's a little bit of work that's had to go into them really coming together and being unified. But it sounds, Nick, like they've actually done a pretty good job forging their way through the dynamics of marriage in a relationship. So let me go ahead and now ask you this question. You've seen feminism pretty much as a social movement, as a social dynamic, your entire life. But you ask five different people, you're going to get five different descriptions of feminism. How would you personally define feminism?
Well, feminism is kind of all over the place right now. It's kind of eating itself
In what way? What do you
currently,
mean by that?
in the way that there are feminists who with the dyed hair and the man-hating and this and that. There are the feminists who are more about what the first like the when the when feminism first began. There are those who are still with that mindset, and then
Which
there
is
are like
what?
it's
What
which is
mindset is that?
like women should be allowed to swim in the same pool as boys. Things like that, right? Very simple, very basic things of that nature. Like just
Okay.
actual equality of opportunity, allowing them to have the opportunities that men have. Whereas now it's more of they want the same opportunities and outcomes. They want equal outcome, right?
Okay, so how would you say that has been different from what your grandmother, because your grandmother, I'm thinking she was a baby boomer, and your mother, who was a Generation X, how has it really evolved, changed over the years, just based on what you've seen and what you've heard? Because if you weren't born in those times, all you know is what you've seen and heard other women saying and doing, and especially on television, like you've been watching movies and how they've changed, or television talk shows. How has it changed over the years from what you've observed?
Feminism has kind of devolved. I wouldn't say it's evolved.
Okay.
It's changed over the years. It's become in a mainstream kind of. It's well, at least the loudest speakers. It's become more like negative, confrontational, almost militant. I don't want to say militant. That's extreme, but it's become very, very just negative. It's become more
Okay.
negative over the years. And my grandmother's generation, it wasn't as aggressive. Granted, there were still, baby boomers and the women of those times. They were, they stood their ground, but
Yeah.
they seemed to have very good hearted intentions. Now it's just a manner of putting women above men or giving women an advantage over men because they were like oppressed for so long in the past. Something like that. I don't pay too
Okay.
much attention to it.
Oh, okay, well then let me ask you this though. Just in your personal opinion, are men and women equal inherently as people? Are men and women equal?
No.
Well, why not?
In nature, you find in nature, in life, just there's the masculine and the feminine. They can't be equal. It's impossible. It's like there's negative and positive, right? Negative and positive charges.
Okay.
Masculine is like the positive charge, and the feminine is like the negative charge. Now,
Well,
I don't mean that like it's a negative thing to be feminine. It's fine, but
right. I
generally in
understand.
nature, you need that balance. It's a balance, but it's not like they're not inherently equal. They need to come together to kind of become that equal, you know?
Okay, then let me ask you this. If they're not equal, who's better, men or women?
Neither. You can't. Well, neither are really better than the other. 'Cause like, as a guy, I can lift more than my sister.
Right.
But she has, but she can like, her work ethic is far superior to mine. I mean,
And do you
granted, I'm a
think
lazy person, but
that's honest, okay?
yeah, no, like, women are can more like they can run a house with children for a longer period of time with efficiency and like accuracy for longer periods of time than say a man could, right? And it wouldn't wear them down as much. It's just different. It's just a
Okay.
dynamic.
Okay, so what I've basically heard, what I've studied personally, because I know this for a fact to be true, that women go from one side of their brain to the other more quickly than men. They can literally go from one hemisphere to the other more quickly than men, so they can outperform in a certain way. But men, when they're in one hemisphere, the synapses in their brain move faster. So when they're performing a single task, a man can potentially do better than a woman, but when you have to add more and more and more tasks, men's performances tend to go down, where a woman's actually tends to go up. So, do you disagree with that? First of all, before I ask the question, do you disagree with that?
Not really, because that's what when I was working as a plumber, that's what I had trouble with. It's like the more tasks I got, the more likely I was gonna like forget to do something, you know?
Okay. So then think about this now. When it comes to being submissive, because I know when it comes to the culture, the Hispanic culture, women tend to be more submissive. They're obedient. Now, should a woman, if she has that ability to do more things than a man, should she be submissive to him?
Yes. In my personal opinion, yes.
Why?
Women are more naturally inclined towards like safety, towards like comfort, the whole like say a lot of the I live really close to Seattle, so like safe spaces and things of that nature, those are fine and dandy. Those are really good for like children and babies, right? Women are good at that kind of stuff, at taking care of the family within the home, like in the inner circle of stuff. The man is more of like the external, like go out, get the money or get the food, protect the family from external dangers, make judgment calls about what's like, what would be best for the family unit overall. What's the problem? Here's the solution. plain and simple, you know, get it done. And there's just, and you can see even in nature in that regard, it's just there's more, except for hyenas, but that's a different topic.
Okay.
Men, yeah, the men just take on a more natural leadership role than women. It's actually, I don't think it was a study, but a female guard, when asked about like what the dynamic was between like how it differed a female prison from a male prison. In male prisons, there's like hierarchies, right? There's a leader. There's that, the head honcho, there's his right hand man, there's the like guys below him, this and that. In female prisons, instead of naturally referring to a hierarchy, there were familial units, like family units. You know, there was like the mother, and then there were the women who were like her children almost, that she took care of.
Okay. So what you're basically, what I hear you saying then is there's a maternal, you know, caretaker in a different way. But if you're talking about being submissive, how is that? Is that not the same thing as being subservient? Should a woman have to be subservient?
Subservience is like obeying without question what's being like told of someone.
Okay.
I don't think women should like, no, I don't think anyone should do that. That's just a bad idea.
Okay. Is your mother submissive?
She is submissive, yes.
In what way?
If my dad makes a big family decision, she'll talk about it with him. She'll, you know, this and that, you know, they'll discuss things. That's how I know she's not subservient, because there's a lot of back and forth. But in the end, she does ultimately respect that it's like it's his decision to make, that he's going to be the one to make the decision.
Well, but what if, like, she could go out and make a lot more money than he does? Didn't your mom at one point actually go out and get a job outside of the home? How is she being submissive if she's the one going out making money?
Because making money, the family, the dynamics of the family has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the fact that it's like, if she does that, it's like she's still submissive to my dad. She's just making money. It's like there's no real connection between submission and money, you know, monetary things.
Or getting a job. If your mom went out and got a job.
Yeah. She had the job. Yeah, the certificates or whatever. Coupon salesman, I can't remember.
And so when she would be out making money and he was at home, what, cooking and cleaning and changing diapers?
Yeah, taking care of us.
Yeah, okay, but isn't he kind of being subservient in that situation?
No, not at all, because he's kind of the one who, like, gave her the okay, who said, okay, yeah, let's do it this way. She wasn't the one who said, she didn't say, I'm going to get a job and you're going to stay. Nothing like that at all. She couldn't get away with that with him.
Okay. So when you're talking about the fact that he has the final say and she was doing it because basically he was giving her permission to do it. You told me a story about a woman in Starbucks who watched them.
Oh, I tell people this all the time. So my dad and my mom, they were at Starbucks,
mm-hmm.
and apparently they were just like, my dad was being really sweet to my mom, and he was giving her all this attention and affection, and he was kissing her and holding her hand and stuff like that. Just they were like boyfriend and girlfriend, right? And this woman came up to them, and she was like, hey, you know, I don't mean to, like, I don't want to be rude or anything, but, like, are you two, like, having an affair? And my dad was, like, caught off guard. My mom was laughing, obviously. She was just laughing, and they asked, well, what do you mean? Why do you ask that? And she said, well, I could see you're both wearing wedding rings, but they don't match, and you're both way too into each other to be married. So, like, are you both, like, so you're both, like, married to other people, and you're, like, this is a side thing, right?
Wow.
It's like the idea of a happily married couple was so foreign to her, you know?
So the fact that they have been together for this long and she's submissive, but she's still actually in love with him, how important has that been to you?
Oh, it's been very important. When the parents work really well together, when there's that understanding that just because the woman is submissive doesn't mean she's like a slave. There is there is respect. My mom does get a lot of respect from my father and quite a bit of admiration too, because she does things that like he's like, I could never do that. That's amazing. And it's like a simple task. He's such a simple man. It's like there's like, you know, it's great. It's been great for me personally. I don't know about my siblings, but for me, it's done a big deal, a great deal of good for me, seeing that kind of stability between them. I myself want to get married sometime in the near future.
Okay. Well, you know what, Nick, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and expressing your thoughts, because it's not very often we find people who have come from what we would call a successful family. A lot of times, especially I know me, growing up, I had a mother who was married 5 times. And yes, she was a baby boomer. And yes, we were raised by babysitters. And, you know, because she had to go out and make the money and she only got the child support twice a month, whatever. And so it's important for our listeners to know that there's a lot of different people out there with a lot of different opinions, but it's not very frequently we hear good news and positive stories. So thank you very much for coming out of the show today and expressing your personal opinions and thoughts and feelings about this subject.
Yeah, anytime.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Thanks. Okay, so this is the last segment where we're going to go ahead and have this interview. And when we're going to go ahead and come back, we'll open up the lines to our callers, anyone who has been listening in, and they have their own thoughts or opinions or even questions about this subject. Again, the number is 888-627-6008. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. Yours, mine, and ours.
BBS Radio. .com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. You're listening to our show today. It's about feminism and whether it's been actually good for women's relationships with men or bad. Okay, so again, we'll go ahead and invite callers, anyone who's been listening today who has a thought or an opinion about whether feminism has been good or bad for women's relationships. The number is 888-627-6008. Now, what I've always thought was very interesting, sexual harassment was something that was a big issue as I was growing up. So I'd just like to share some of my thoughts. I recently wrote an article about how no real woman can be sexually harassed. And I felt like feminists really were looking for fights and they were looking for opportunities to attack men and get upset with them for things that men did. Well, you know what? Yeah, men look at women and they think about things, right? And they want things from women. But what is sexual harassment? Now, one of my very good male friends was having the discussion with me, and he didn't really buy that statement, the statement that no real woman can be sexually harassed at first. But by the end of the conversation, he did make the concession. Well, why? I say that no woman can be sexually harassed for 3 different reasons. First of all, a woman always has more power than a man in a sexual way. Number 2, harassment is about how you feel. You can choose to feel any way you want as a woman. And finally, number 3, only weak men sexually harass women. And if a man is weak enough as a person to truly sexually harass someone, he is easily stoppable because he is a weak man. The woman just needs to know the tricks. Okay, so what's a man's greatest weakness? Women, you know what? We all know a man's greatest weakness, a woman, period. We, and by that I mean I, us girls, we may not have the same physical strength in a raw way that men have. We might not always have the social power in certain settings that men have. And we might not always have the same political influence on paper that men have. We may not always have the same emotional resiliency at certain times and certain settings that men have, and we may not always have the same mental fortitude of a certain kind. We have it more in certain ways, but think about this. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Every man's weakest link is a woman. Think about the Bible. How many different situations where women were able to debilitate men? How many men can truly debilitate a woman? The problem is that too many women simply just don't know that. They don't understand that no matter what a man can do when he's alone or with other men, he becomes incapable of doing those things if and or when a woman inflicts her wiles over him. A man only has enough blood for one head at a time. Don't we already all know this now, ladies? Right? Okay, so then the actual definition of harassment is aggressive pressure or intimidation. This does not have anything to do with words or behavior. It's about subjective pressure or intimidation. What may be very intimidating to me would make my older sister laugh out loud. And what my husband would think is an act of aggression to me just looks like a desperate cry for attention. Because it's all in the eye of the beholder. A woman can choose how she decides to interpret a man's behavior, any behavior. That means that any woman who is truly confident in herself can choose to feel however she wants to feel about what was said or done by that man, or about any person who said or did that thing. Any way she wants to feel, what she wants and what she wants to do about it. If there's something truly wrong with what was done, then do something about it. Feelings only exist in nature to give you the energy to motivate you to action. If something happened that made you feel a certain way, you have the power to take action. Which brings me to my third point. Only weak men sexually harass women. Inappropriate behavior is only displayed by inappropriate people. True men with dignity, honor, and class don't need to inflict pseudo power in a destructive way by trying to prove to themselves or to women that they have an ability to do something that they clearly don't. Because if they did have that ability, they would do it in an impressive and a legitimate way. Predators go for weak women because they know that those weak women won't fight back. If those men had true strength, first of all, they would not be predators. Second, they would be comfortable with a matching of the wits with a woman. In fact, they would even enjoy it. And in courtship, which is the pursuit of a real relationship, a real man is attracted to a fabulous woman. She's smart, she's fun, she's confident, and yes, she's humble as a woman. You can be all of those things at the same time in a relationship. Contrary to popular opinion, you can be smart and fun and confident and humble. If a man said or did something that was sexually aggressive or in an attempt to be intimidating, all a woman would have to do is three things. First of all, look at him the same way she would look at a five-year-old, trying to hide the ice cream under their covers and say, "You're not serious, are you? You're not actually trying to do that?" Second, if you responded in an aggressive way, say, "Wow, you're really freaking out right now, aren't you?" And then laugh out loud in his face. That has an amazing amount of power. Then if he, tries to keep going sexually harassing you, say, "It's okay. I understand you're having a hard time. I won't hold it against you. And shh, don't worry. I won't tell anyone what you've done. It'll just be our little secret." Then walk away. Ladies, you've just castrated him. The bottom line is, you wouldn't want to work with a man like that. Even if you won the lawsuit and you, "Yes, and I got the verdict and you sexually harassed me," it still wouldn't be worth it. Just get another job. And I promise you, there's something much better out there for you. Be a real woman, a strong woman. Genuinely, if you think you're worth it, you won't have these kinds of problems. If you don't think you're worth it, then you need to get personal help, and it's got nothing to do with him or what he did. And that brings me to the final point in my show today. Too many people are just looking for a fight. Like feminism, for attention, for money. Most of the men really aren't predatory. They've just irritated a woman, and we need to learn how to effectively communicate. In relationships, it's about a strong man, a healthy woman, and together when they have a relationship. Yours, mine, and ours.